the Saturday and Sunday at 7:30 and 3 p.m. respectively. The Grammy Award-winning Albany Symphony Orchestra will take the stage at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, presenting a program that will feature Stravinsky's Octet for Winds. And I will say that again, Octet for Winds. There, and Joan Tower's Rapids for Piano and Orchestra, and which is a world premiere, and a world premiere from Connor Brown, right?
Well, many of those things soon to be clarified.
a lot of words there. Joan Tower's Rapids for Piano and Orchestra.
It gets even better, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
All right, good. And Beethoven's Third.
And when I hear those two slashing chords, Joe, I'm called to attention. I feel like, oh my God, I missed the beginning. I was supposed to give those downbeats.
Okay, so I have so many questions for you, but let me just get this out of the way because I'm curious now.
Stuff like that.
No.
who am I?
The orchestra will be joined by pianist Blair McMillan and will, of course, be led by Maestro David Allen Miller, who joins us now to tell us more, and here he is. Okay.
So disoriented.
So I apologize.
I am.
I just told you. I was away for one day yesterday, and I'm just like I've never done this job before.
My boy missed.
So here's the thing. So Joan Tower's Rapids for Piano and Orchestra. Is that a world premiere?
Well, technically that would not be a world premiere. However,
yes,
Joan Tower, because we had been in touch with her, and she's actually functioning this year with the Albany Symphony as our mentor composer, which means that she's coming back a few times through the season, and we're making a recording of two major previously unrecorded works of hers, one of which was to be Rapids. So when I talked to her about it, she said, you know, I really always felt that piece should have, it's as it sounds, it's unremittingly fast and lots of rapid finger work because it's a virtuosic piano, one movement, 13-minute piece. Should I always felt that should have a slow introductory movement, which would make it better. And then one day this fall, she called me and she said, so I've written a 6-minute first movement called Still for you to record and perform along with Rapids. So now it's called Still / what's that slash thing?
Yeah. Slash.
Slash. Yeah. Still / Rapids. So actually, technically, it's the world premiere of the new version with the still slow movement at the beginning. But Rapids is a piece from 1995 that has been performed elsewhere.
And Connor Brown?
And Connor Brown is a world premiere. The way the program was designed, it's really a composer portrait concert, and it's designed to sort of tell the story of this amazing lady, Joan Tower, who's one of our greatest living American composers, and as you know, lives right here in the Hudson Valley in our neighborhood and teaches as a distinguished professor at Bard College and the Bard College Conservatory. And the Albany Symphony and I have played a lot of her music through the years. We love her. She is an incredible lady, just a riotous, fabulous figure. And so this is really a composer portrait of her. So I asked her to design the concert, essentially. So she picked her two favorite composers, those two who have influenced her the most, Stravinsky from the 20th century, Beethoven from the more distant past, two of their most fabulous and rhythmically vital pieces because her music's so vital. And then we're playing this great sort of world premiere of hers. And then in addition, I asked her to select a student or a former student of hers to commission a short 10-minute long piece from, and she selected Connor Brown. So his piece is, in fact, a world premiere. So it's a wonderful chance to sort of climb into the mind and the aesthetic world of Joan Tower.
So that's Saturday and Sunday. You'll do it at 7:30 on Saturday at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, which I know you love performing in.
We do. And recording in. It's such an incredible space. Yeah.
And then also at 3 o'clock, so on Sunday.
Also in Troy.
Yeah. Yes, at the same venue. That's awesome. We'll talk about the program just a little bit. I just have some auxiliary questions.
Absolutely.
Here. Number one, have you gotten the Grammy yet?
I have not, and I'm beginning to worry. My son, Ari, says I need to really reach out to them and say, yo, people, what's going on here?
Where the hell's my
it's
Grammy?
It's been a month, basically. I think today or yesterday is a month, and not a word. Not a word.
Yeah.
But I got excited one day because I got a box from the Grammy organization around, my birthday was in mid-February, and it was, in fact, my own Grammy mug and Grammy shot glass, because in our house, we'd never had a shot glass, and some family came for Thanksgiving and they wanted to make some special drink and we couldn't even measure shots because we don't have a shot glass. So I now have my own official Grammy mug and Grammy shot glass that my beloved wife Andrea bought for me for my birthday. But I do not have the Grammy statue. So they're sitting in for that.
Oh, so they weren't even sent to you as a present. That was something your wife ordered for you for your birthday.
As a present from my wife.
Maybe she has to order.
Maybe she does. Maybe they're waiting for my $10,000 $1 check. I don't know. It could be.
Also, and this is, and I apologize for tangent. I just had this question. So I'm on your website and I'm looking at this, and here's the there. And folks at home, if you go to AlbanySymphony.com, you can see this for yourself. You
Are
click
you
on the
criticize
on the program.
Our website.
No.
Okay.
I just have a question. So
yes, sir.
Then at the top, there's a little picture of the guy there.
Yeah.
Who's the guy and what's he doing?
I don't know. It looks like he's fixing the hammers on a piano. You know what? It's Blair. It's our soloist.
Oh, it is your soloist.
It's our soloist. I hope, I think.
Okay.
And he plays a lot of modern, really, really modern music. And I think maybe in that picture he's actually like playing prepared piano or doing something with the hammers.
Well, it looked like Tinker Toys. I didn't know what was going
on there.
He's doing
some advanced pianistic technique in that photo, I think.
Okay, all right.
But it is a funny shot. He's a very handsome young man, Blair.
So you put it on first and foremost. That's great. Because it says Beethoven's third, and then it's...
I hope everybody will go to our website, because I hope that as of today, we've just kicked off a Kickstarter campaign to raise money for this Joan Tower recording and a Chris Rouse recording that's done in awaiting post-production and a George Santakis recording. And we need to raise $12,000 in the next 2 months. So we hope everybody will come check out our Kickstarter campaign and help us out with that.
And again, that's AlbanySymphony.com. And you can find out more information about all of those endeavors. And of course, find out more about the concert that's coming up on this weekend. And you've already announced your 14-15 season.
We have.
So that's exciting.
It is, and we're opening in early September with Josh Bell, the great Josh Bell, playing the Bruch Concerto on a beautiful, beautiful program. So, and I just should mention that for those people who subscribe to the season, they get Josh Bell absolutely free. So that's going to be a big gala concert with a big gala party, but people who subscribe get the concert absolutely free.
Excellent. Yes. And he's been with the orchestra a few times now.
Twice, I think.
And that's very nice.
Yeah, we love him. He's a great, great artist.
Terrific. So all of that going on. All right. So now let's go back to the program that you have going on this weekend and talk about that specifically. And we'll begin with the Octet for Winds.
Oh, we're going right down from start to finish, huh?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Shut up, talk fast.
No.
Well, again, the whole idea is that it sort of all goes back to Joan Tower.
Right.
And Joan Tower, you know, I think she was born in New Rochelle in New York State, but she, as a small child, she moved to Bolivia. I don't know why, if her father was in the service of some diplomatic service or something, but she grew up in South America, and her music is very percussion-based and incredibly rhythmic and really exotic in that sense. So Stravinsky is one of those composers because he really did so much in terms of pioneering these exciting rhythms, not just in works like The Rite of Spring, but even in more intimate pieces like the Octet. So Stravinsky is on that program. The Octet is just a beautiful piece for this strange little wind band, two trombones, two trumpets, flute, clarinet, two bassoons, a charming, fabulous piece from 1922 that really started his so-called neoclassical period. He sort of looked back to classical models, but refracting them in an almost Picasso cubist way. And it's a fabulous little 15-minute piece that we're delighted to play.
How's the program?
So it goes octet, and
yep.
then Still Rapids, Joan's big piece,
right.
is the big feature on the first half.
Yes.
And that again, similar, not similar to Stravinsky, but similar in that the rhythmic vitality is really exciting. This piece was commissioned by a great new music pianist, Ursula Oppens, and she said to Joan she wanted a really technically hard piece for the piano. So the Rapids part is unbelievably, finger-crushingly virtuosic, and this great pianist, also from the Hudson Valley, Blair McMillan, who's a close friend and colleague of Joan's at Bard College and has played with us a number of times, is our soloist, and it's very exciting to be able to feature him, and also, since we're recording the piece for Naxos, to be able to record the piece with him as well. And then on the second half, this charming little, very accessible, sort of post-minimalist, rock-inspired piece by Connor Brown, and then finally Beethoven's Mighty Eroica, because Beethoven is Joan's hero, and I suppose he's mine too, you know, for any number of reasons, but particularly this incredible rhythmic vitality of that piece and of his music generally.
It seems by going to your website and then sort of the marketing is that that's kind of the premier piece.
Well, sadly, marketing is a somewhat, how should we say, you do it in broad strokes. So if you say Connor Brown, as wonderful as he may be, or if you say Eroica. Chances are more people will identify with Eroica than Connor Brown. We at the Albany Symphony are, of course, working to change that so that, you know, all the Connor Brown fans will come out and a few Eroica fans will come out. But Eroica is, you know, in the defense of Eroica, in addition to it being maybe the most important piece in the evolution of concert music.
Well, that's what I was getting to. That's pretty...
In addition to that, it's about in my version, about a 45-minute piece, in most people's version, about 50 minutes, because I do it at Beethoven's metronome marks, the ones that he indicated. But it's a good half of the program. It's a monumental undertaking anytime we do it.
So why are you and Beethoven in a hurry?
I'm not in a hurry at all. I'm just very, I'm very attuned to Beethoven and the fact that he was in a hurry. And I don't even know that he was in a hurry. I think it's that he was a lot closer in his aesthetic world to Mozart and Haydn in the classical period. And those Wagnerians and post-Wagnerians who slowed him down to make him sound more and more like Wagner really didn't understand who he was. I mean, this piece is just exploding. He writes it for this little orchestra, and it explodes what orchestras do and what symphonies are. The first movement is longer than any full symphony up to this time. The piece is monumental and dynamic, and it's about Napoleon, and it's about war and tragedy and death, and I always want the piece to have the feeling that it's about to careen out of control, because that's, I think, the way he imagined it.
So I find this fascinating now, because I think in the arts, of whether it be classical music, film, literature, any work, that if 5 minutes is a lot, you know, that's a lot of time
to spend 5 minutes with a work of art.
Well, you know, if you were so you look at a 5 minute difference just from from metronome setting, I mean, that in and of itself to me says a lot. So
it changes the whole piece for those people who've been listening to Bruno Walter playing this piece or someone like that.
Right,
it'll sound like a different piece.
So when you do it at a slower pace, what do you think you either gain or lose from that?
I don't know. I'm always asleep about 4 minutes into it. All these great
well,
masterpieces.
That's comforting.
And frankly, not just Beethoven, but Brahms. I can't listen to recordings of Brahms. Most of them are half the tempo that Brahms intended, and I just begin
to
get very.
The maestro will be sleepy by about 9:10 at the choice.
I am impatient. I'm impatient when I feel like someone's not respecting the composer. And in Beethoven's case, he gave us very clear metronome marks, some of which are ludicrously fast, few of which are slow.
But it would make sense that if it's...
I'm very intolerant. My kids are working on me. I'm trying to be more tolerant.
Oh, you're tolerant.
No, I wish I could be more.
Just give him his Grammy.
I'm really intolerant of intolerance.
It seems if there is that, you know, if the whole thing is that careening out of control and that going at that pace, that would make sense that it's going to be at a
quicker clip. Well, I should say, the whole thing isn't in that the second movement, the incredible funeral march, is not careening out of control. But again, even that movement is usually played at half Beethoven's tempo, and it's a very different piece. It has much less, dare I say, skeletal structure when it's too slow. And that's true of most music. The skeleton gets flabby, and you don't feel the contours of the architecture. So to me, when you hear the first movement of this Eroica, which is a monumental thing, even at the fast tempo he gives us, you hear the architecture so much better and so much more clearly when it's at his tempo.
I love what you just said, and I think that's fascinating. So I have to ask you, as a conductor, do you feel that how much control do you feel that you should have or are licensed in changing what the composer's original?
That is a big question. And I must say that it's weird because, like, in politics and such, I'm totally against original intent, like the Supreme Court and, you know, well, the founding fathers say such and such.
But that was 200 years ago.
But when it comes to Beethoven, I think somehow it's different in that the world of Beethoven's symphonies hasn't changed. Our world has changed. And obviously, a new interpretation is acceptable, is okay. I mean, people can do what they want. But I really tend to hew as closely as possible to the composer's intent, especially when it's a great mind like Beethoven's or like Stravinsky's. The Stravinsky Octet is a fascinating example. Stravinsky did not want this piece conducted. I'm probably going to conduct it just because it'll help the musicians play more together. It's only 8 players. It's very virtuosic and difficult. He didn't want it conducted because he didn't want conductors, quote, interpreting it. He wanted the piece to sound the way he wrote it on the page. So you know what he did? He conducted it at the premiere in 1922. It wasn't okay for other people to conduct it, but he conducted it. And strangely, his tempos are often not what he indicated. So then that does call into question, Joe. You know, if Stravinsky wanted it a certain way and then played it a different way from the way he claimed to want it, doesn't that sort of challenge my idea that right. Beethoven knew what he wanted. But I think different composers have different sense of tempo, and Beethoven had a really keen sense of tempo.
And obviously you look at a full body of work.
You do.
And see how that right. how that fills in.
So I'll only insert a little bit of my personality into Stravinsky and maybe just a little bit more into Beethoven, and I'll insert my personality all over in these modern pieces, which don't yet have a performance history.
Which also brings to, and we're out of time, but that brings to, you know, how nice it is then to have those composers there to get a sense of
absolutely.
What is intended.
Absolutely, and it's wonderful. I find that wonderful. I don't want to be willful. I want to serve Joan Tower and Connor Brown and realize their visions.
The Albany Symphony Orchestra performs at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall this Saturday and Sunday. For more information, go to their website, albanysymphony.com. Albanysymphony.com. I'll tell you about the concert. They'll tell you about the Kickstarter campaign. They'll tell you about everything you
and
need
Joan
to know.
And Joan Tower will be with us all weekend, and she's a hoot and a holler. She'll be introducing the pieces and talking in the pre-concert talk and things like that.
Great stuff.
And she'll be at the library at noon with me tomorrow.
Tomorrow at noon at the Albany Public Library
right on Washington,
on Washington Avenue in Albany. Maestro Miller, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. My pleasure.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.